With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello, I'm Johnny Owen, and this is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport. Mark Webster and I ask our guests 11 questions all about their love of football, from their earliest memories of the game to how their matchday rituals have changed over the years. And at the end, they'll tell us their best 11, a team made up of anyone who's ever played for their club, along with a manager of their choice. Will they pick a cult hero from the past to lead the line, or will they go for a young whippersnapper from the modern era? It's totally up to them, because it's their best 11. Our guest today is a brilliant actor. He starred in a number of top films and series, including The Firm, White Lines, and he was fantastic as Sergeant Waldron in Line of Duty. It is, of course, the brilliant Danny Mays. He's a mad Leighton Orient fan. Danny, welcome to your best 11. Can you start by telling us why you support Orient?
Geographically, Leighton Orient is the closest team to where we grew up in. We jump on the central line and we were like, I don't, how many stops is it? Seven stops and you're in Leighton. So the only exception is my older brother just above me, Jonathan. He's a West Ham fan. But everyone else in the household, including my dear old mum, were all diehard Leighton Orient fans. I mean, I didn't really have a choice, really. I mean, my dad just dragged me along there and that was it. I mean, I do remember as a very young kid toying with other clubs, as you do, you know, because you're attracted to, you know, the football kit or whatever it is. So I think I remember at one point supporting Liverpool, and then I like Newcastle because I like the black and white kit, and then I really was thinking about Tottenham for a long time, and then slowly but surely the O's just grabbed me, and then that was it. I haven't looked back.
I would say Tottenham, West Ham and Orient are that Bermuda Triangle for where you come from, aren't they, Danny? You could have fallen anywhere in the middle of that.
I could have, but I mean it's great being an O's fan. You know, we've had ups and downs. You know, there always seems to be sort of drama along the way. We've played in playoff finals. We went down to Cardiff at one stage. And I mean, sadly, we've lost both our sort of playoff finals, didn't we? And then we had the takeover with our Italian chairman, which didn't go so well. And then obviously we were relegated out of the Football League completely, and then we had the great Justin Edinburgh that brought us back. So, I mean, I guess any football fan could say that about their club. It's always, you know, you've always got ups and downs, but it's about sticking with them, you know, and seeing it through.
It's interesting you said that. It's obviously a family thing for you, like you're saying. Your dear old mum supports Leighton Orient. But what were your first football memories, Danny? Was it an FA Cup final or something like that, or a World Cup? What do you first remember about football?
The first football memories, I would say, I mean, look, I mean, it was always a huge event, you know, a World Cup or a European Championship. So, I mean, my mum and dad, loads of friends, they're really gregarious. And my dad would always make a sort of a bar in the sideway, and we'd put up the big TV and we'd have a barbecue and everyone around the house. So I'd say probably my earliest memories was World Cups. Definitely Italia 90 was a massive a memory for me. You know, Gascoigne and although the game against Cameroon and Lineker just scoring left, right and centre. So I think definitely the Italia 90, I would say.
I think you arrived at a good one there, Dan, didn't you? Because that was, we've talked about this on the show before, as a momentous tournament, that one was, wasn't it? The football took off.
Oh, I mean, it was, I mean, it's the closest, well, we got to the semis, didn't we?
Yeah.
In the last World Cup. I mean, with that group of players at Italia 90, when you look back at them, I mean, Lineker did that programme about it. I've watched it in lockdown. You know, they were sort of so close, weren't they? They did have the nucleus of an amazing team. And I mean, it's amazing that that was the only World Cup, right, that Paul Gascoigne ever played in. Yeah. Am I right in saying that? I think I am.
Yeah.
And he was, he really came to the fore then, and he just announced himself on the world stage, and he just dictated the pace of the game, didn't he? He was in his prime in that World Cup. And, you know, you had Paul Parker at the back and, you know, Stuart Pearce. So it was just a brilliant group of players led by arguably the greatest manager of all time in Bobby Robson.
He did a magnificent job. He was under huge pressure at the time, Mark, as well, wasn't he? As people forget about Bobby Robson, though. He says he'd been forced out, really. He'd said that he was finished, and that was his last World Cup, wasn't it?
They'd done that. It was like with Venables as well, wasn't it? You just get the sense that there was two managers should have been given that bit more time. But I think the panic button was hit twice on those occasions.
Right. You imagine with both those managers, they just galvanised their players. They were like managers that if you was a player in those teams, you'd want to perform for them. You know, they had great managerial skills, didn't they? And one-on-one with players. I imagine both him and Venables were brilliant, weren't they?
It's amazing how many people have talked about Paul Gascoigne, but that, you know, he was so important for them growing up. But he himself says Gascoigne, Bobby Robson and him had a very unique relationship, and Bobby Robson allowed him to be what he could be, didn't he, really? He allowed him to be what he'd be, knowing that he was a lad with huge potential, but, you know, he needed careful management, didn't he?
He did indeed, yeah. I also read an amazing piece on him. I mean, obviously, Gascoigne, after the injury that he sustained, didn't he? Was it 1991 in the FA Cup final with Tottenham? That was such a horrific injury for him to go through. The first time I ever appeared on Soccer AM, I remember... you used to go on with like someone from the music industry, like a band, an actor and a sports person, and then, or a footballer, or whatever it was. And then the producers phoned me up the night before and said, we've got an absolute England legend for you, Danny, that you're going on with. And I had to go through and guess who it was. And it was Paul Gascoigne himself. And I phoned up my little brother, and I was like, listen, I'm going to be on with Paul Gascoigne. He went, oh, you've got to bring me along. So I phoned up and my little brother Ryan, he came along with me, and we were sitting there in the waiting room there in Sky TV, and then he just sort of bowled in, and he had like peroxide hair, and he had a huge bag of like shirts he was just signing and giving them out to everyone. And he was amazing, though. It was just to sort of sit next to him and chat with him. He was absolute legend.
That's fantastic. It's a great story, and it's quite nice actually to hear that that's what he was like, because that's what you'd want.
Well, you want him to be
arriving like Santa Claus, with a load of shirts to sign.
Yeah, he was a bit like. I mean, as soon as that show finished, though, like all of the audience, they were just all around him, and he actually signed. I remember wearing a Leighton Orient, one of my Leighton Orient shirts, and I've got it. He signed the front of it, so I've got it upstairs in the wardrobe somewhere.
That may crop up in conversation later on in the show, I think, Dan, the sounds of it. Yes.
Yes, I peaked too soon. Then,
no, you've probably got tons.
No, no.
Yeah.
Danny, I was just going to ask you, what's the first game you went to? Do you remember what it was?
I can't remember what the other team was, but I do remember the first time being over at Brisbane Road at the O's, and I was in the West Side. It wasn't a night game, it was a daytime game, and the reason why I remember it was as soon as Orient scored, everyone just erupted around me, and I just got freaked out and burst out crying. All my brothers and my dad were all jumping around really jubilant, and I must have been young, right? I must have been, what, 5 or 6?
22,
or like
23,
that. Yeah. Yeah, it was a couple of months ago. So I can't remember what it was, but another really early Orient memory was going over there, and it must have been a cup game because they were playing against Nottingham Forest. And I remember Brian Clough on the touchline, and he had that iconic green jersey. Yeah. Do you remember you used to wear that green jersey?
Like goalie top sort of thing.
And I do remember the Orient fans singing out to him, and he gave us a thumbs up. But I couldn't, because he's, again, you're talking about an absolute legend, wasn't he? And an amazing manager and personality. So I do, I can still see visualising there in that green jumper on the touchline. So that was another really early memory.
That's brilliant. Do you remember who your favourite player was as a kid?
They had a centre midfielder called Steve Castle. He was like a sort of brilliant man mountain of a player. He got all over the pitch. He was fantastic. Matty Lockwood was a right back, I think he was. He was another favourite player of mine.
Yeah.
And more recent times, I was a big fan of Dean Cox as well. So they were the three. I've got to say John Sitton as well, because I know John, and John was a brilliant sort of centre back for the O's as well. So I guess they would be the four players that really stick out in my mind.
John Sitton, once met, never forgotten, I would say.
Yeah, then. I mean, I played I did a play at the National Theatre called The Red Lion. It was a Patrick Marber play. And I was playing a sort of wheeler dealer type manager. There was only three actors in it, like a kit man, a young player, and the football manager who I played. And it was a brilliantly written play. And I was sort of doing the research for it. And I obviously remember John from his infamous Orient Yours for a Fiver documentary. And there was a lot of that of John sitting in the character, I thought, on Twitter. And then I just reached out to him on Twitter. And then we got talking, and I actually ended up getting John to come in and watch one of the rehearsals. And he just sort of spoke to us, really, and gave his insight into the game. So he was brilliant. And he came along to see the production when we finally got it up and running. So, he's such a character. You're right. Once you meet him, you certainly don't forget him. Yeah, that's for sure.
Getting notes off of John sitting in the theatre.
What's the great expression? And bring your dinner. Bring your dinner, wasn't it?
Bring your dinner.
All the time that you've been, obviously, while you're going to football there, you've done Italia Conti as a youngster. Then you've done RADA. Did you manage as a young actor, training actor, to keep the football going as well?
What, going along to watch the game?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for me because I never know really where I'm going to be. I mean, over the last couple of years, I've sort of been very busy, so it seems to be like. My experience of my football watching has been in fits and starts. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes I'm out of the country or wherever it is. So wherever I can fit a game in, and it's just a great social event as well, because it's not only my dad and my brothers, but my cousins are all O's fans, Patrick and Ray, and they've all got kids now. And it's definitely, Leighton Orient is first and foremost a brilliant family club, isn't it? So, just that chance to meet up with everyone and have a pint before the game or after and just enjoy the experience together.
What were your matchday rituals when you were a kid, Danny? What do you remember about going with your folks and your brothers?
I can remember going up a lot of time with like a group of friends, Stephen Holding and all my mates, and we used to go over on the east side, and we were quite small then. We would always used to get there early so we could sit on the wall of the east side and watch all the players warm up, and occasionally a ball would sort of, you know, roll over to us and we'd jump down and kick it back to them, to the players. But not necessarily rituals now. I mean, rituals now is just drinking copious amounts of pint. the ritual nowadays watching Orient is we go and watch that, and then we go to the Cricketers in South Woodford, which is my my dad's local, and we go back there and talk about the game. Well, sadly not now, obviously, in lockdown, but hopefully that'll come back soon.
It's interesting, Danny, as you say. So you've never sort of like ever gone hospitality? Have they sort of had you in the nice bit since you've become very successful, or do you still like to go in with your dad? And
yeah, I'm not. Do you know what? I did get an invitation from the chairman to go into the hospitality suite. I think I was filming White Lines or I was away, and I should definitely try and follow that up. But yeah, we've got into the hospitality a few times. But we're always over the East Stand now. So we've all just keeping it real, as they say. But I like to be in amongst the crowd, really, because you just get that banter, really. I mean, the best ever game over the Orient I ever saw was the 1-1 draw against Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, it was Tahore scored in the final minutes to equalise. And it was an absolute sellout, as you could imagine, over Brisbane Road. And my younger brother, Ryan, managed to get a handful of tickets. And we were right next to the Arsenal fans in the east side. And there was a bit of sort of tarpaulin that was just separating us. And I sat down like that and the game started. And Rositsky, I think, scored for Arsenal and they went 1-0 up. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I got recognised from the telly, didn't I, by all these Arsenal fans. That was it. It ensued 90 minutes of banter, of them taking the absolute mick out of me, saying, "You're a shocking actor. You can't act. You're terrible." And I was just sitting there, 1-0 down, having to endure this sort of abuse. And I was like, oh, I can't believe this. And then obviously Tahore equalised. Well, I jumped over the tarpaulin. I've never, ever celebrated a goal as much as that day. It was absolutely phenomenal feeling, yeah. And then we went back to the Emirates and got smashed 6-0.
Whatever. But, whatever.
Yeah, it was doesn't a golden
matter.
Moment.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
A thin piece of tarpaulin wasn't going to keep you down, was it? No, Dan.
No.
It's beautiful when you really want your team to score to sort of prove something and they do it. There's nothing like it, is there?
The most amazing feeling. And big Terry Farr was with us. He had his ponytail. That had gone out. So all his hair was everywhere and it was just wonderful.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
This is the Best 11 podcast from Talk Sport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is the Best 11 podcast with Johnny Owen and Mark Webster.
Have you got a favourite piece of memorabilia or memento that you've got that's kind of like special to you, like a scarf or a badge or something?
Well, going back to what we mentioned earlier, when I did meet Paul Gascoigne when I did Soccer AM, I remember wearing my Orient shirt on the sofa and I got Paul Gascoigne to sign it. So, yeah, it's up there in my wardrobe somewhere. But, I mean, my older brother Paul used to religiously keep all of the programmes. You know, he was an avid collector of programmes, my older brother Paul. So, I was never really a diehard sort of fan like that, but he used to always, you know, keep them all in order and stuff like that. I've also got a signed Chelsea shirt by, who's the, his name's gone. Who's the defender? came from Bolton and now he's gone to Crystal Palace.
Oh, Gary Cahill. Yeah.
Gary Cahill.
Yeah. Yes.
Completely slipped. So I managed to get hospitality suite at Chelsea for a contact, and we watched a Chelsea home game, and then we got befriended by Gary Cahill's family, and they said, do you want to come back and meet him? And that he was so lovely to my young son, Milo, who's a Chelsea fan. So, yeah, he's got his signed Cahill shirt as well. So we both got a signed football shirt.
Oh. It's worth pointing out at this stage, because this often happens, is the parent who let their kid get away. And Milo. So tell us about that then, Danny. How did that happen? You took your eye off the ball.
Well, my wife is a Chelsea fan.
Oh.
I think just to spite me, like he does in most things in life, he went, no. I mean, I think as soon as he saw Chelsea, he was like, I mean, let's compare the two teams, Dortmund and Chelsea. You know, what are you going to go for? European nights or not? So he likes his Chelsea, yeah. So, I mean, you have to just go with it, I suppose.
I'm blessed. Fair play, Jim. Well, listen, he's gone with his mother. Have you got a favourite player now, Danny? Have you got a player that you really like in the current team?
Who's my favourite footballer now? I mean, you can't look past Messi, can you, really, in terms of his ability on the ball and all that sort of stuff. I mean, as a kid, my favourite ever player was Maradona. I mean, I was, like most kids of my generation, I would imagine myself, you know, being Diego Maradona in the playground. So, I mean, I like flair players like that. You know, I've always I was like a sweeper for Loughton Boys. I was a defender growing up, but I always loved watching flair players who could dribble past people. So, obviously, Maradona was the greatest at that, or arguably like Messi is nowadays. So, currently, and I tell you who the other player I really loved growing up. There's a bit of a story to this. I used to love watching David Ginola. I used to do a lot of oil painting as a kid as well. And my dear old Uncle Walt, who's no longer with us, he was best friends with Harry Redknapp. They used to go to school together. So back in the day when Harry was the manager of West Ham, Walt phoned me up and said, look, I think he was moving to Bournemouth or somewhere in his holiday home, Harry. And he said, look, I want to give him a moving-in gift, a housewarming gift. Would you, paint a portrait of Harry Redknapp, and I'll take you to a few West Ham home games? And I was like, yeah. So I ended up, it took about 2 months, this portrait of Harry Redknapp. But, I mean, it took me to West Ham Spurs. And that was the greatest ever performance from any one player I ever saw was that day of David Ginola, who was on the wing, who absolutely terrorised the West Ham defence. So I used to love watching David Ginola. And I guess, so what was it, Messi, Ginola. And I also love sort of watching Roy Keane. I love Roy Keane as a pundit so much. I think I appreciate him even more as a player, if that makes sense. So they would probably be the three favourite players of mine.
I do like the contrast there. Ginola, Messi, yeah. Maradona, and then Roy Keane.
He was a phenomenal player, wasn't he?
Different qualities.
He was fantastic.
Different qualities, fantastic. Admittedly different qualities. He used to just drag that team over the finishing line, didn't he? Just unbelievable. Yeah. And he just didn't suffer fools, did he? So have you ever met him in person?
I have. I've worked with Roy. He was at Forest and he was Martin O'Neill's assistant. So I was in charge of the media and comms with him. And he's very funny, actually. Tells a really good story. And I don't think I've ever met anybody that loves football like him. He would sit and talk football for hours and hours and hours. He is football, if you know what I mean. So you can just see it's his life totally, you know, totally his life. But so good fun, he's got a good sense of humour.
You had to interview him a few times for the media then?
Well, it was hilarious because he said to me, I'm not doing any media, Johnny. I was like, okay. So that was it. I never had to interview him at all.
Right, he was just kind of like behind
the scenes talking.
You never want your mobile phone to go off if you are interviewing him. Have you ever seen that clip when the journalist's phone goes off? Oh, that cracks me up.
I know. And he doesn't knock it off, does he? And he goes, are you going to knock that off? Yeah. You're just going to leave it ring.
It's almost almost like he got tutored by Brian Clough or something, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And Alex Ferguson and Brian Clough.
Oh, they're exactly. They're role models. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask, Dan, because you mentioned there your players, your low centre of gravity. You're a long'un. What was your football like? I could see you at the back tidying up.
Got literally no pace at all, really. Like, I had a sort of, it was quite tough because my two older brothers, Paul and Johnny, were exceptionally good footballers. And my younger brother is a great footballer as well. So we were, and we all played for Loughton Boys in Essex. And, but, you know, particularly my eldest brother, Paul, he was very good. So they were really, you know, difficult boots to fill. But I ended up becoming captain of Loughton Boys. But I was always a good passer of the ball. So you'd have I used to just sweep up at the back and get the attack going. But no pace at all. But good in the air.
Dan, have you got a favourite? Are you a Leighton Orient kit man in the sense? Do you buy kits every year to take on holidays, or have you got a specific kit that you like?
Not really. No, I did. My daughter came with me just before lockdown over the Orient, and we ended up buying her a football. I mean, she's got to buy something as soon as she leaves the house. She's going to be a Leighton Orient fan, so she's got the shirt already. But I never really collected the kits as such, really. I wasn't really into that.
But you do have that one with Gascoigne's signature.
You've got,
on.
Yeah, so you've got the Gascoigne one.
Do. Pride of place, yes.
What? Yeah, it's a sort of, I can't even remember what year it is. It's the sort of retro Orient kit with the red V going down.
Yeah.
And I can't remember year that's from. It's quite, I mean, I'd say that's probably Orient's most iconic kit, really. You know the one I mean? You know the
yes.
one I'm talking about?
I do. There's been variations of a theme over that one over the decades, hasn't there? Yeah, I know it, yeah.
It has, yeah.
That's not a bad one to have in me, is it, with Gascoigne's signature on the front? Like
No, it was a good one. It was a good one, yeah.
Danny, have you got a team that you like that's not Orient? Have you got another team that's sort of a second side almost?
You've given us plenty of options, by the way, thus far. You know that, don't you?
he's got a lot of players that he likes. So I'm just thinking of a team, yeah.
If I'm going to go for a Premier League side, like I mentioned, it would be Spurs. Right. Because as I mentioned before, I was definitely toying. Oh, that was a football kit I loved. I got that 91 FA Cup final Spurs kit when I was a kid. That was a firm favourite of mine, that football kit. But I do like Spurs. I've always been an admirer of them, and you know they've had amazing players, haven't they, over the years? Gareth Bale and all those people. But they would be definitely. When the results come up, I always keep an eye out for Tottenham. Yeah, I'm yet to go to the new ground. My best friend Matthew's a diehard Tottenham, and he got me a ticket for one of the games at the new ground for my birthday, and then obviously the lockdown kicked in and that was all called off. So hopefully we'll be able to rearrange that, because have either of you two been to the new stadium at Tottenham?
I've admired it from afar. I'll remove the word admired.
Yeah.
I've grudgingly looked at it and said, yeah, well done. I mean, go, Dan, that's your corporate one to go to. Wow. That'll be nice.
That's the one, isn't it? Yeah. Because, I mean, it's meant to be the best stadium in Europe, right? It's just like, it looks amazing on the television. It's a brilliant stadium.
It's beautiful.
I was the same as you, Dan. I was invited to a game and then obviously the lockdown came along. But it's one of those grounds. I've never met a person yet who hasn't been, who hasn't said that it's one of the best grounds, if not the best ground that they've ever been to.
Because they've got that beautiful stand that just, it's like one tier that goes all the way up, doesn't it? I mean, it's apparently it's been designed acoustically like it's an amazing sound in there. It just holds, you know, and it feels really intimate in there. So I can't wait to see that, yeah.
So Danny, we're at the best 11. You've chosen an England 11 to pick. So do you want to talk us through your team?
Yes, I would. This is my team. Again, like for the goalkeeper, I'm like thinking, who do I go for? But it was a dilemma between Peter Shilton or David Seaman. I've gone for David Seaman, safe hands, right?
Right.
He's my goalie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Quite the presence, wasn't he? Yes, David Seaman.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he's the one for me. But for centre-backs, I've gone for Tony Adams and Rio Ferdinand.
Nice. See, you're more the Ferdinand, aren't you, than the Tony Adams with your graceful skills at the back there. That's you, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, Ferdinand was great on the ball coming out of defence, wasn't he? Gary Neville right back.
Yeah.
And left back dilemma, either Stuart Pearce or Ashley Cole.
Yeah, we have had some left backs, haven't we, to pick for. It's like a production line of greatness down that left-hand side of fullback, isn't it?
They were probably the best left backs in the world at that time as well, in their prime.
Well, you've got that die-hard passion, haven't you, from Stuart Pearce? But I'd have to, for a more complete footballer, hopefully I'll never be in a lift with Stuart Pearce when I say this. I'd have to go for Ashley Cole because I just think he was brilliant going forward, wasn't he?
I think he's almost like the archetypal modern-day fullback, isn't he? Almost invented the role, yeah.
So, yeah, Neville, Adams, Ferdinand, Ashley Cole at the back.
Very nice.
Moving into midfield, centre midfield, Steven Gerrard.
Yep.
Goes without saying. It's the Lampard-Gerrard debate. I'd have to go for Steven Gerrard.
Ah, you've left Lampard out. You've not confronted it.
I've just kicked him to the curb.
Swerved again, it.
So, bye-bye, Frank. We love you, but you're gone.
This Gerrard is good revenge on the missus for making the boys support Chelsea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Next to Gerrard, I've got Paul Scholes.
Right.
Ooh.
Brilliant on the ball. Fantastic player. I've got right midfield. I've gone for Beckham, best crosser in the world of a football. On the left, it was a toss up between Raheem Sterling and John Barnes. Now, ooh. John Barnes, was he on the left wing or was he right wing?
Yes.
Coming on his right foot a lot, obviously, but where you saw him play. Yeah, on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And when you think of John Barnes, you instantly think of that incredible solo goal against Brazil. And for that goal alone, I was really tempted to go with him, but I'd have to go for Raheem Sterling.
He's incredible, isn't he?
Ooh.
He's amazing. I mean, he's, you know, I've just gone for Sterling for his pace and his all-round game. So that leaves Gascoigne for the number 10 role.
Ooh,
creativity in the midfield.
An attacking side. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And then moving into the centre-forward position, I couldn't look no further than Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
And that's not just because I've had dinner with Gary Lineker once. That's got nothing to do with it. And he's a die-hard theatre fan. That hasn't come into play. He's just, I think... he was just a fox in the box, Willie Lineker, and he'd just grab you a goal, wouldn't he?
And Gascoigne and Lineker famously link up brilliantly as well, so that makes perfect sense. And I'm big on Raheem Sterling because what you've done is in there you're embracing this current batch of footballers, which have got every chance of being the best batch of footballers in an England shirt we've ever seen, I think.
Yes, yeah, totally, yeah. I haven't really gone way back in history, have I?
No.
I've not gone for a Bobby Charlton or a Bobby Moore or anyone like that. But obviously, I just never saw them play. So I've just got to go with my gut instinct here.
And that's
do I have to pick a manager?
Yes, you've got to pick a manager.
Yes, please.
Oh, you'd have to go with Bobby Robson.
Yeah.
Nice. Without a doubt, yeah. He would be the man.
Danny, that is a fantastic England team.
Brilliant,
very attacking, goals everywhere. Absolutely brilliant. And it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Danny. Absolutely brilliant, mate. And good
thanks for having me on, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Cheers, Dan.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Danny. Cheers, buddy.
The Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Thank you for listening to the Best 11 podcast. Don't forget there are new episodes out every Monday and Thursday. So join us for more football memories and another Best 11 very soon.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.